So let's begin with the citizen lobbyists this morning. We've had only one meeting that I have attended this week, and that was the Palmer City Council meeting, which had some interesting aspects. What have you been looking at, citizen lobbyists?
Well, I'd like to hear about the Palmer City Council meeting. I have been watching the legislature since there's no local school board. School is on spring break. We know that, Mike. And also there is no assembly meeting this week, although I was just looking through their packet. It's already posted on their website for next week. Not a lot in there, except they are going to take the trapping ordinance up again, you know.
Right.
And that should be kind of interesting to see. That may come at the end of the meeting, and it has got a lot of operational stuff. They are having a 4 p.m. meeting, too, I noted, and so it's starting off with an executive session, although they don't say, union negotiation preparation is what it is, the title of it. And then they're going to have, as part of that meeting, some discussion on foreclosure processes and service level reductions. That might be pretty interesting. And then they'll launch from that into their regular 6 p.m. meeting. So just kind of getting that. The school agenda, board agenda is out as well. And nothing too, I didn't note anything up there of huge consequences. But yeah, it should be an interesting week next week, Mike, but kind of quiet this week. How did the city of Palmer do?
Well, the city of Palmer is pretty efficient these days. The meeting went on for a few hours, but it wasn't there were a couple of things. I'll surface a couple of things that I particularly noted that were discussed at some point. And the most attention and discussion was focused on having the city manager enter into an agreement with what referred to as the United States Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, so that the Palmer Police Department would participate in a tactical diversion task force program. I say all of that because what it boils down to is the city of Palmer allocating $100,000 to have an officer from the department be essentially assigned to the DEA a drug task force. And this was discussed a few weeks ago at another Palmer City Council meeting. And it was presented. There was a discussion about it, et cetera. Most of the council was there, but council member Brad Hansen had missed that meeting, and he had not heard that discussion. So now, of course, as it came up for vote, he had some questions. And at first, I saw some concern because the question always is if you're taking money and putting it one place, are there better places to put it? And Chief Ketterling spoke, I thought, very well to the variety of possibilities of what one could do with $100,000 for the police department. There had been a longstanding effort to have an officer assigned to the school district. And the school district has not been able to come up with funding within their budget to support that kind of thing. And so that was one of
Anchorage does have that already. I think, right?
Yeah.
Some time now.
Yes, they do. So this became a situation where I was watching this carefully, listening to the discussion. And once again, I wanted something more than the words. Unlike the situation, for example, with the borough assembly when they're discussing trapping and places and locations where you wanted a map, what I needed, I felt, was a visual that would put up in front of me, here's $100,000 and here is a series of options. This is option A with the requested monies for drug enforcement involvement. And then over here was a, you know, option B, what if we spent that ourselves and had someone involved in the schools? Or option C, which might be something on the order of another patrol officer in general use. And you, and then under that list show the defined benefits, meaning something that could be clearly seen, and then the possible benefits as well. Because as the discussion went on, I in my own mind began to wonder, well, is this thing going to pass or not? The mayor was particularly supportive, and the discussion you began to realize had a broader implication, because we know that there's been an particularly the Grunewald incident, but others that have involved an opiate task force in place to know that underlying much of what is happening that is bad in this area has to do with drug use. And so you begin to say, okay, we have a certain amount of money that we could put to these places. How do we decide whether this will have a greater impact than that? They're both... They both have supporters in
merit.
So ultimately, to cut to the chase, the discussion went on. The vote was taken, and it did pass with two members of the council in opposition. That was Mr. Hansen and, interestingly enough, Pete LaFrance. So
what was their opposition, I guess?
Well, the opposition was I began to think that it had to do with, certainly from Mr. Hansen's perspective, that this wasn't there were two things about it. One had to do with this officer wasn't going to be under the control of the Palmer Police Department. Basically, and Chief Ketterling was quite clear in pointing this out. This was a situation where what you would be doing is sometimes having a, because a drug situation didn't necessarily neatly follow political boundaries. So if you may have a case where someone is involved in the distribution of drugs in, say, Palmer, but is really headquartered in Anchorage, and DEA doesn't say, okay, we have to stop, our interest stops at the border here between Palmer and Anchorage, or Palmer and the Matsu Borough. So what this means is that you have a person who is going to be involved that will have a broader connection and understanding of how the drug situation it flows through Palmer, but isn't just specifically to cases in Palmer. And so people were having a little trouble getting their minds around something like that, where you were essentially cooperating across borders. The second,
I think that the assembly struggles with those interagency and intergovernmental cooperations. Not so much. I think they're used to working with the state on things, but it they stumble when it comes to working with the municipality.
Right.
Anchorage on things. I've seen that from the assembly, so not surprising.
Oh yeah, and I think that's a that's absolutely an interesting interesting thing to watch, to see that we're still dealing, and I think at a national level, I mean, I think you can draw the connection. The discussions that are going on in Washington D.C. are somewhat similar. Do we create a Fortress America that doesn't cooperate outside, or
or fortress states?
Yes, or fortress states. Right. So okay, this is but this is a local, perhaps a slight local manifestation of that. The second aspect really was the question about whether if, because this was a multi-year situation, if we go down the road a bit, can we see that it's not working and stop, or are we absolutely committed and we just have to let it happen? Well, Chief Ketterling pointed out that he was not, I think he clearly stated that he was only going to be interested in a situation like this where you could evaluate and you could end the agreement, given some notice, 30 days, I think was what was mentioned. So they got to be on that enough. There were, I mean, the mayor, I think the two prominent people who, well, three prominent people who spoke were the mayor, Mr. Hansen, and I think Mr. LaFrance. And I think Mr. LaFrance, my reading of what he was saying is that I think he was leaning more toward finding a way to put this money to use more in the school systems. But in any case, it did pass, and it was an interesting discussion that went along. That was the high point, I think, of what was discussed. There were some reporting from the manager specific to the question of how to deal with the continuing transition of the dispatch center from Palmer to Wasilla, and the practical aspects of it, which got down to people, for example. If you're staffing a place and you know it is going to have an end date, then those people who are there, some of them will remain because the dispatch for Palmer will remain after the transition, but you won't have the same number of people. So that there are already people who are saying, okay, they're applying for other jobs. That's an appropriate thing. And once again, the question mark nature of when this will happen brings in an interesting question up. If somebody has had to apply for another job and moves, it leaves before an extended transition is completed, then the Palmer Dispatch may fall below a level where it can properly do things. In other words, they've been willing to cover the move over, but it would be problematic if there are problems with the transfer. So it was an interesting little reminder that these things are truly complicated, and there have been a number of dates that had been thrown up but were then sort of extended.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of things had to do with what is always a problem, I think. The city has created what is called a council community grant program, and they've gone through a long process in years past to figure out how to make decisions and give money to a variety of groups. Mm. So, for example, there was a Matsu Miners contribution requested, or a grant for the Hatcher Pass Avalanche Center. And then once again, we had raising its head the question of, is this in Palmer or outside of Palmer? Hatcher Pass obviously is outside of Palmer, but Palmer is considered in some ways, as some council members pointed out, the gateway to Hatcher Pass. And these amounts don't seem to be a lot. We're talking about a couple thousand dollars. They are big because the amount available is $10,000. So,
I thought that they, at one point in time, had put together some type of, was it the Economic Development Board or somebody that had a vetting process for these things?
Yes. And I think the vetting happens, but we come down to the final approval. And you're looking at a number there that might be $2,500. So you say, well, let's reduce that by $500. And I'm not sure that the council has yet come up with a way of saying, okay, this is worth $2,000 versus $2,500, other than that it will leave us with a little bit more money for others. I know that many organizations struggle when trying to, and perhaps even individuals, if you think about your own, say, charitable contributions, and you say, well, how much do I give to this group versus that group? If I'm thinking that I'm only going to give a total of so much, so if I drop this down a little, then I can give that person, that group another. But they come through. It's just that it's always a bit of a struggle. The other important thing, I think, to point out that the gentleman who, Eugene, who is there very often to comment about the process, was missing. He was not there. And it was noticeable that he wasn't there time went on. But that
well, he'll be happy. He'll be glad he was missed.
Right, right. Well, I just want to mention that I did see him this past week, and it was actually out at the landfill. I happened to notice him going out there, so I'm not sure whether he was just using the landfill or was exploring, as he has been often want to do, different aspects of what's happening around the borough. And you're right, we'll probably see him at the next assembly meeting.
Well, looking at the, we can roll back a little bit to what I was saying about the school district. There are a couple of things on the agenda now that I look at a little harder, Mike, that
okay.
might be interesting when they come up next Wednesday is their assembly meeting. They are going to take up a resolution about educational sales tax.
Oh.
And this is something that they've talked to the borough about, whether to perhaps put on the ballot. I don't think that they've decided whether it be a special election or wait till the fall election. A sales tax percentage that would go towards education to sustain the education budget. And they're saying that the resolution is intended to introduce it and support the concept of increasing and diversifying local funding sources to help sustain programs and provide services to the school district. So that's I don't think I'll see any pushback in passing it at the borough assembly. Now, how far it goes on the other side on the assembly table will be an interesting thing that they take up. They're also taking up an increase in paid meal increases. I think about a quarter each. I haven't really looked at it very, very much. They also are approving the administration has authority to approve contracts up to $200,000. But I don't know if you've noticed, Mike, but we had a lot of snow this year.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Some of the plowing is outsourced, and that went over by about $100,000. So they're asking for approval to go ahead and pay that bill. And they also have on here, they're going to be asking the Department of Education for a waiver for seat time requirement, which basically is how long kids have to be in the classroom so they can allow teachers to direct online courses. And it count towards the required hours of instructions and study periods, and that's something they're going to be asking DEED for a waiver from. So those are a couple of things that came our way that I hadn't seen coming. They are going to have the reemployment of the central office staff and all those contracts that are coming up, so those must have been resolved. So there are a few things on the agenda that could make it rather interesting next week. One other thing that we do want to talk about is there is going to be an opportunity next Thursday night that the borough mayor and manager, hosted by AARP, will have phone-in teletown hall, Mike.
Right.
Which will be, instead of spending the money to have these open houses that nobody seems to want to come to. I think someone said they had their open house last year had six or seven people show up for a budget open house, which is pretty disappointing, I would say. And they have decided, AARP has given them an opportunity to come in and have a telephonic town hall, kind of like a radio talk show, where people will be able to call in for an hour and ask the mayor and the assembly, or the mayor and the manager, about budget, give them information on what they think should happen on the budget, ask them questions about the budget. And it'll be opened up to everybody in the valley. People should start getting postcards in the mail. I haven't gotten mine yet, but it should be coming, giving people an idea how to register for it, and if they register for it, an automatic phone will call them. This is something that AARP has done around the state. They've held one for Senator Murkowski. They did one for Senator Begich. And it's a nice way to do a lot of outreach to people, give them an opportunity to participate in a public process and not have to leave the comfort of their own home. So it'll be streamed online so that you can watch it online. As they're answering the questions, they'll be located in the AARP office in Anchorage, both the mayor and Manager Moosey and State Director Ken Osterkamp will also be there conducting the meeting. But you can be calling in your questions. You can be typing in your questions online. But the important thing is that you get registered to do so. You can do it the night of, but it's much easier if you register, because then they'll send you a link to follow it online and that sort of thing. So be watching for that. It'll be on Facebook. There is a flyer out that I'm sure that the Metsu Borough is going to be putting out. I'll try to get some to the assembly meeting next week. So, yeah, should be a good thing. And hopefully, Mike, we're going to be streaming it as well.
Yeah, we're working on that. And the best, as you were talking, I was thinking, this is a fascinating aspect of that evening, that even going to assembly meetings, it's very rare that the audience can engage in a dialogue, question-answer, with either the mayor and or the manager.
Good point.
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch, because it's not a situation where, you know, you ask, you know, people come up and they have time to be heard, and they're heard, but it's rare that anything involving a back and forth, even when there's maybe a simple answer to be provided by an audience member or by someone up there, that happens. And that's a missing kind of thing. And I think on a broader scale, the reports that come in from around the country are the town hall meetings, where an individual representing people is available for back and forth, for dialogue, for hearing what people have to say, but also to engage in a dialogue, not just standing up and being berated by an audience that doesn't like them or whatever, but to actually have some form of question and answer. And I applaud what's happening. I think it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, I think it'll give the public a chance to interact and also to get across to the borough what's important in these hard fiscal times. What services do you expect from your borough, and what's important to you, and where do you think if the cuts should be made, where should they be made, and more importantly, what are your ideas to bring new revenue to the assembly or to the borough? This is something they struggle with, and they really need to hear from people. We have 100,000 people in the borough, and there's an opportunity here for people not to give them an excuse anymore. Sometimes it's tough. The borough is, you know, located in Palmer, and you live over in Kinnick or in Big Lake or out in that area, and it's tough for you to, you know, drive in, spend the time to get an opportunity to speak. And as you pointed out, Mike, not even ask a question, just even leave your opinion about something. And if there was ever a time that the assembly and through the manager and the mayor is going to be able to, needing the input from the public about how to spend money, it's now. So I encourage people to watch for that, watch the borough website for them to publicize it. There should be postcards coming out soon. It'll be, I think it's going to be in the paper, and I know it'll be on Facebook, Alaska AARP, Alaska's state page, Facebook will have about it. So pay attention to that, and please participate. And it's a bargain, because AARP Alaska is a community service, and their outreach is paying for it, and it's not costing taxpayers a dime to make it happen, unlike open houses.
Right. Well, citizen lobbyists, I think that's going to be it for this week. We've covered a lot of ground, actually, even with a kind of narrow focus. So we look forward to Valley Edition tomorrow and back next week when we've had a couple of more meetings as this process, particularly the budget process, rolls along.
Right.
Okay. Have a good day.
Have a good one.
Yep. Bye-bye.